It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 135 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
This week we're going to be continuing our series on build-around mechanics in 2nd edition, this time focusing on Scum and Villainy.
Yeah, and Scum and Villainy is the team that really inspired me to look into these mechanics just as a whole, because I think they just have really interesting focuses that they drive your list building in for the Scums faction.
I mean, so far from what we've looked at in these factions, it really seems like the most distinct categories you'll see for build-around mechanics are in Scum and Villainy. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about today, so I think we should just dive right into it.
All right, Tim, I think we should start by just reminding the listeners what we mean when we talk about a build-around mechanic.
Yeah, and this is an important building block here for when we're having this conversation. When we use the phrase build-around mechanic, what we're talking about is usually a ship ability that you're not going to necessarily want to take just on its own. You're going to take that ship and ability along with some other components that are necessary to make you get the most value out of that ability. So I think a classic example of this, we talked about it before, it's in the Empire. We haven't actually talked about the Empire yet, but the Howl Runner TIE Fighter. This is a TIE Fighter that friendly ships at range 0 to 1 can reroll an attack die when they're attacking. Now, obviously, this works for Howl Runner on her own, but you get a lot more value when you combine that ability with a bunch of other ships. So typically, you're going to design your list to take advantage of this build-around mechanic.
Right. You wouldn't pay 40 points for a TIE Fighter that could reroll one attack die. You're paying 40 points so that all of your TIE Fighters can reroll an attack die.
So when we're looking at these build-around mechanics, in a lot of cases, you'll see abilities that in a way do work on their own, kind of like Howl Runner can reroll a dice on her own. But in some cases, those abilities don't really work unless you bring in other necessary components. Actually, a good place to start about this is Cath Scarlet.
All right, so Cath is one of two scum ships to care about non-limited friendly ships.
Non-limited, of course, meaning it's a ship without a dot before the name, so you can have multiple copies of it in a list, whereas ships like Cath Scarlet are limited, so you can only have one copy of Cath in your list. But Cath is a great example of a scum build-around mechanic because this is actually an ability that does not stand on its own. You actually need other components in your list outside of Cath in order to actually leverage and use Cath's ability.
Cath Scarlet is an Initiative 4 Fire Spray with the ability, while you perform a primary attack, if there is at least one friendly, non-limited ship at range 0 of the defender, roll one additional attack die. So that is a lot of text and a lot of work to get to the reward of rolling one additional attack die. And honestly, it's going to be a bit of work to set this up. But that's a pretty good payoff.
Right, yeah, there's really two parts to this ability. There's that setup requirement of the non-limited ship at range 0 of the defender, and then there's the payoff, which is rolling an extra attack die. It's not hard to see why rolling an extra attack die is a really fantastic payoff, and you don't see a lot of abilities in the game that actually allow you to roll extra attack dice, so this ability is powerful on its own, but granted, it does have a pretty stringent setup there. Now, what's great about Scum and Villainy is that they have a lot of options in non-limited ships. So you're going to be able to load out your list here with some non-limited ships, and really all you have to do is take probably a low initiative non-limited ship, throw it out in front of your opponent's ship so that they're forced to run into it. And obviously that has the benefit of preventing them from taking an action if they overlap, but you'll get a lot of payoff here where suddenly they lost an action and you're going to get to roll an extra attack die when you attack.
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about how the non-limited ships here in 2nd edition are a lot more powerful on their own, and Scum has some pretty good choices for very cheap non-limited options. So that makes Cath an interesting build-around ship to consider, because the cost for this ship is really in the list-building restrictions to get the payoff for the pilot ability. You're not really paying any extra points for Cath's pilot ability.
And the Fire Spray is already a really strong chassis, and this ability works on primary attacks, which include both your forward and rear firing arcs. So you've got a pretty wide range of effect from Cath. You just have to hit that criteria of having that allied ship at range 0.
Right, and I mean, that is a tough requirement. You know, getting a block is a very powerful thing to do in X-Wing, and not necessarily trivial to set up. So, you know, to set yourself up for success with Cath, I think you want to include a lot of these non-limited ships so that you have a lot of opportunities to block your opponent turn after turn.
And we're going to dive a little bit in a second here into the non-limited options, but we should also bring up before that the other build-around mechanic ship that Scum has for non-limited, what we call non-limited matters mechanics. So the Y-Wing, Drea Renthal, actually has kind of a similar ability to that TIE Fighter Howlrunner we were talking about before. Drea is a initiative 4 Y-Wing that says, while a friendly non-limited ship performs an attack, if the defender is in your firing arc, the attacker may reroll one attack die. Now, there are a couple reasons that this ability is good. It's a little easier to pull off than, say, Cath Scarlet's ability, where you just have to have a non-limited ship attacking, and a ship has to be in your arc. What's cool about the arc limitation is that firing arc includes turret firing arcs. So let's say you have Drea loaded out with just a simple dorsal turret. That means anytime someone is in either your primary firing arc or in that dorsal turret arc, this ability could trigger.
Absolutely. I think you really want to put a turret on there, you know, rotate it to the side, and then you have a 180-degree sweeping firing arc that you can just circle around the outside while you have all of your non-limited ships move in close to engage and get the effect of those rerolls. What's cool about Drea is she doesn't have to be that close to the fight. She can still provide that support. And it's actually pretty interesting. You're not getting that much reward for putting Drea close to the fight because you're going to constrict the range of her firing arc in relation to your opponent. And she's not benefiting from the reroll. So you want to have her as far away so that you can get the defensive benefit of having range 3 for your green dice to protect her 8 hit points.
And obviously, rerolling an attack die isn't as good as adding an attack die, but what's nice about Drea's ability is that this is an anthem effect, so this could affect a huge number of ships, especially if you have, say, a whole swarm of non-limited quad jumpers or Z95s. They're each going to benefit from that single reroll, which will really add up over time, and the more you're able to spread this ability out to more ships, the more value you're going to see from it. Now, I think this is a good point, though, to talk about the non-limited options you have in Scum. There's actually a whole lot you can see in the extended format here. I think the lead two we probably want to talk the most about are the quad jumpers and the binary pirate Z95s.
Right. I mean, you want to start with looking at the binary pirates. They're the cheapest non-limited option for the Scum, coming in at 24 points. You know, you get a 4 hit point, 2 attack dice ship. They're okay, but when you take a lot of them, those attacks start to add up, especially when you're getting rerolls from Drea. But, you know, for just a few more points, you can get a quad jumper, which, you know, has an extra hit point, but really you're taking it for that space tug tractor array action, giving out the tractor beams.
Yeah, so this is actually really cool, and it works really well with either Cath or Drea, but it works really well with Cath, I'd say. So obviously the Jakku Gunrunner is a little bit more expensive than Binary Pirates are right now, but you get that built-in ship ability of the Space Tug Tractor Array, where as an action you can choose a ship in your forward arc at range 1. That ship gains a tractor token, or 2 if it's in your bullseye at range 1. Now, this combines really well with Cath Scarlet's ability because you can put yourself in a situation where a quad jumper flies in, uses the Space Tug Tractor Array, deals out that tractor token, and maybe repositions the enemy ship into a less desirable location, or maybe even forces a bump onto that quad jumper. Then if that enemy ship ends up bumping into that quad jumper, you're going to get Cath Scarlet's benefit of rolling that extra attack die. So for just this little combo here, you can deal out a tractor token, reduce their agility and move them, and then roll an extra attack die, basically increasing your damage potential by 2 hits.
Absolutely. The quad jumpers work great when you're rolling 4 or 5 dice with Cath, having a target with lower agility. But at the same time, if you're using a Drea non-limited list and you know you pick your target, you get a tractor activation with the quad jumper, plus get a lot of Z95s or other quad jumpers in close, all of those rerolls are really going to add up against the lower agility of your target.
Now, you do have some other options there for the non-limited Scum ships, things like Sick Interceptors. The Cartel Spacer comes in at, I think, 29 points currently. And then just a little bit above that, the Spice Runner Hawk. Now, these are viable options here, but I think for the increased cost of these generics, they're quite a bit more expensive than a Binary Pirate and a little bit more expensive than a Quad Jumper. I don't quite see the value in taking those over the quad jumper, the binary, just because you're not getting that many more hit points to point ratio, and they're still just rolling 2 attack dice.
Absolutely. I think you're looking at the Spice Runner when you want that jam action, or the Sick when you want to utilize a control cannon or something like that. But because they are a little bit more points, that means it's going to limit the number of ships you can take. And with both of Dre and Kath's pilot abilities, you want as many non-limited ships as you can fit in a list. So I think if you have a few extra points left over, you know, you could bump one of your Z95s up to a Hawk to get a little bit more versatility. But in general, you want to try and fit as many ships as you can.
And while we don't have any point cost yet, we do know that there's going to be a Mining Guild modified TIE fighter coming to the Scum and Villainy faction in the future. Presumably, this is going to be a ship with some cheap generics, we'll hope. But we do have that notch stabilizer's ship ability where they can ignore asteroids while they move, which could make them really effective blockers, since they're not going to be limited by those asteroids the way other ships would.
Yeah, that'll be very cool to see how those fit in.
So we've talked about ships that care about having non-limited ships in your list. Now let's go look over to ships that care about having your opponent's ships stressed.
Right, I think the main ship that has scum list builders looking into the stress matters theme is the Lando's Falcon title for the new YT-1300, where if your target is stressed, you get to roll an extra attack die.
Yeah, we're not so much concerned with the first part of that ability, docking the escape craft, but having that second part of the ability where it actually increases your damage potential if the opposing ship is stressed, that's what we're focusing in on. And I think what makes it interesting is that the customized YT-1300 doesn't have built in any options to stress your opponents out. You're either going to be depending on your opponent's ships stressing themselves through linked actions or other effects, or using your other abilities, maybe crew, maybe other ships, to deal stress tokens onto those opposing ships.
Right. I mean, in second edition, there's a lot of ways for the opponent to stress themselves, whether it be through linked actions or utilizing red maneuvers. But when I see an ability like this, I really want to make sure that I'm getting paid for it, especially when you're paying quite a few points for the title. I want to make sure that I'm getting a roll that extra attack die as often as I can, which means I need to include some stress-dealing mechanics within my list.
And you do have some options that you can throw on the YT-1300 itself. Cards like the 000 crew, where you basically force your opponent to either let you get a calculate token if you're at range one, or they have to receive a stress token. The key with that is that it's not necessarily reliable, and your opponent knows your card abilities, so they may opt to just let you have the calculate rather than roll that extra die. And then you have things like rigged cargo chute, the illicit, where you can just drop a debris cloud. That one's a little bit harder to pull off because you need to put it in a position where your opponent's going to run over it. And this may be something that really only works for you for one turn before your opponent's able to move around it and move away from it.
Right. So then your options are basically pairing the Falcon with some other pilots that can deal out stress. Now, the unfortunate thing here for my perspective is that all these options are in the extended format and not in the second edition format. But within the extended format, I think you have some good choices.
Yeah, I mean, I think an obvious point to start at would be Asajj Ventress in the Lancer class pursuit craft. Asajj has the ability, at the start of the engagement phase, you may choose one enemy ship in your mobile firing arc at range 0 to 2 and spend a force charge token. If you do, that ship gains a stress token unless it removes one green token. Now, again, this is a case where there is an option your opponent's making, but unlike the 000 option, they're choosing between two negative things. Either they're going to receive a stress token, or they're going to have to discard a green token. Whereas 000, you getting just one calculate token isn't necessarily game-altering. Either of these can alter the game state in a pretty substantial way.
Absolutely. I think Asajj is your best stress trigger in how it lines up with how Lando's Falcon title works. You want that stress during combat to get the benefit. But I do think you have to look at Forlom also, the G1A pilot. This ship is just all around great. Now, the timing of his ability doesn't work great with the Falcon title. You're getting that stress to your opponent at the end of combat, but if you're putting that stress pressure on your opponent, plus you also include, you know, a 000 crew on Lando's Falcon, you're gonna make it very difficult for them to take the stress and clear it each turn. You're putting a lot of stress pressure on your opponent, and eventually they might end up with some tokens, and you can punish them with 3 or 4 dice attacks from Lando's Falcon.
Yeah, actually, the more I look at Forlom, the more I like it, because I know that it's got some pretty serious limitations there of, like, you're going to be passing the stress at the end phase, like you said, so it's going to be after combat happened, but you're really setting up the next turn. What I do like is the full synergy on Forlom there, where it encourages you to take red maneuvers and get stress tokens, so you can get that calculate token, and then at the start of the end phase, you choose another ship at range 0 to 1. It's not that hard to get in that close, I feel like, in second edition, even though we see a lot of repositioning options and actions on ships now. I feel like it's with a ship this sturdy, you have a pretty safe chance of getting in close to range one, at least to one of your opponent's ships, where you're going to be able to make this ability work. And then if you're combining that with a ship like Han Solo in Lando's Millennium Falcon with the title, you can actually do a lot of damage. And there are some other good complement ships too, like Koshka Frost and the Fire Spray.
Yeah, Koshka gives you the ability to reroll a die, either an offense or defense, if your opponent is stressed. And what I like about Koshka is, you know, it's a reasonably priced fire spray, so I can, you know, still fit it in a list and include ships like Asajj or Forlom to deal out the stress.
Well, and the fire spray platform is already pretty great on its own. You don't have to do a lot to it to make it better. You've got that forward and rear firing arc 3 value. You've got a lot of great action selection there. And then if you're adding in just even a single reroll, but one that you can recur on offense and defense, that's going to add a lot to the longevity of your ship. And coming in at initiative 3 is actually an okay spot to be, because that'll push you above all those really low initiative ordnance carriers. So you have some options there either to reposition or take them out before they fire. But I think Koshka is great. Obviously, Koshka is not adding anything to the stress here. You're not going to be dealing out extra stress. But if you're already putting a lot of effort into stressing your opponent's ship, why not take Koshka in order to benefit from that even more?
Right. And then, of course, we've got to mention the Lats Razi crew. When you defend, if your opponent is stressed, you can remove that stress token to add an evade result. Of course, this works great with Asajj Ventress, but when you're including these other Stress Matters ships like Koshka Frost or a YT-1300 with Lando's Falcon title, you know, it's worth considering, where are you going to put this Lats Razi crew? Which ship is worth protecting the most? And what I like about the Scum Faction here is that they have a lot of options when you start considering a Stress Matters list.
Now, Carson, I know you really love Hawks here, and we mostly talk about ships like Paul of Gadalhi, your favorite, or Torkoal Mux. We see a lot of that out there. But there's actually another Scum and Villainy Hawk pilot that I haven't seen so much, or I didn't see so much in first edition, but the ability's been retooled for second edition. How are you feeling about Dace Bonearm?
I would say I love the design of Dace Bonearm's ability now. I'm a little skeptical because he can't take an ion turret anymore. But I think that's what makes this such an interesting build-around mechanic now.
Dace Bonearm's an initiative 4 Hawk with the ability, after an enemy ship at range 0 to 3 receives at least one ion token, you may spend 3 charges. If you do, that ship gains 2 additional ion tokens.
Right, and Dace has 3 charge tokens and gets one back a turn, so every 3 turns he can activate this ability. Which is good that you can't do it every turn, because that would make it pretty easy to walk a large base ship off the board. But yeah, this is a pretty fascinating ability. Once again, you know, Dace doesn't really have the ability to ion someone, you know, except you could give him a Connor net and he could do that once. And giving a ship multiple ion tokens, you know, is not effective at all against small base ships, but is, I think, very good against medium and especially large base ships.
And that's one of the struggles I've been seeing in my games using ion effects or ion cannon turrets, where, yes, you have the potential to deal multiple ions from an ion cannon turret shot, but more often than not, I feel like I'm just getting maybe one in there, oftentimes none, just the damage initially. So what I like about Dace's ability is that it makes those shots really reliable. You don't have to get very many hits through in order to get a medium or large base ship ionized. And combining this with ships that either can take ion cannon or ion cannon turret seems like a pretty functional way to get some great control into your scum list.
Absolutely. It definitely lets you get the ball rolling, start directing those medium or large base ships where you want them to be. The tough part is, you know, if you're doing it in the middle of the map, they're going to have plenty of time to turn around before they're anywhere near the board edge range. So you really have to pick your timing on when you're going to use this Dace's ability, because you do have to wait a few turns to set that back up again. But I think it's a really cool way to force through extra ion tokens on these medium and large base ships. It's a ability I'm not really looking at right now, but if we see a meta where large base ships are just all over the place, Dace is definitely a ship worth looking at again.
Yeah, I think I'm maybe a little less excited about Dace than I am a lot of these other scum options, if only because I feel like it doesn't have a lot of hit points relative to its cost. So I feel like this is a synergy that can be pretty quickly pulled apart by an opponent who knows what they're looking for. One synergy, though, that is really fun, I think, is the Captain Justero synergy with that awesome pilot ability to get that extra attack.
Yeah, Captain Justero is a Kirax with the pilot ability that reads, after an enemy ship suffers damage, if it is not defending, you may perform a bonus attack against that ship.
So this is a pretty interesting ability. Obviously, one of the most powerful effects you have in X-Wing is being able to take extra attacks. We see that any gunner card that allows you to have an extra attack usually comes at a pretty high expense here. And in Captain Justero, the expense is not so much the actual point cost, but more the setup you have to do in order to trigger this ability and to trigger it multiple times. Obviously, Captain Justero's ability could trigger if your opponent happens to take damage from an asteroid or debris cloud, but just like the stress abilities we talked about earlier, you really want to have a reliable way to force these abilities to trigger that rather than waiting for your opponent to make a mistake.
Right. I mean, things like seismic charges are pretty cool just because you have multiple uses out of them, but I also like feedback array. I'm usually pretty weak on most of these illicits, but if you're including Captain Justero, then I think Feedback Array is pretty cool.
Yeah, so Feedback Array is interesting. That's that illicit. It costs currently 4 points, and its ability is, before you engage, you may gain one ion token and one disarm token. If you do, each ship at range zero suffers one damage. So kind of like what we saw with Cath Scarlet's ability, where you needed that ship to be at range zero, basically you're putting Feedback Array onto a ship that is going to block. And you're going to get multiple points of benefit if you do that. Obviously, like I said before, blocking prevents your opponent from taking an action. Then there's the inherent damage dealing you're doing with Feedback Array. Yeah, you're sacrificing an attack, but a lot of attacks, especially on lower attack dice ships, aren't going to do more than one damage at a time. And then, since you've already denied them an action with that block and dealt them a damage, they're going to be really exposed to have not only Captain Justero's regular attack, but also that bonus attack come through.
It's definitely very difficult to set up Captain Justero's ability, but, you know, we've seen payoffs be, you know, reroll a die or roll an extra die. Well, performing a whole extra attack is definitely the biggest payoff we've seen so far. So I think it's worth looking at, even though it is pretty hard to set up.
And I think one thing that separates Captain Justero as a build-around mechanic from the other things we've talked about, though, is that there's a lot of different ways you could build around him. You could do a whole list dedicated to bombs and mines and use those as your source of damage to trigger Justero's ability. Or you could do things like tractor beam tokens to force your opponent to hit asteroids and suffer damage there. Or you can do things like card abilities like Feedback Array or even Tarani Kulda's ability, dealing damage in that bullseye firing arc. Lots of different ways you could build a Captain Justero list, and you could use pretty much most of the ships from the Scum and Villainy faction to find the exact tool set that works right for you.
Couldn't agree more.
Now, usually when we're talking about damage mitigation and limiting, that's something that seems more along with the Rebel faction, where they have a lot of the selfless ability or things like that. We do see a little bit of damage mitigation, though, in Scum and Villainy.
Right, and I think because it is rare for Scum faction, you really want to pay attention to these options because damage mitigation is very powerful.
On the simpler end, we actually have Cirasu in a sick interceptor. She's got a pretty straightforward ability. It's kind of a defensive Hal Runner, I guess, where friendly ships at range 0 to 1 can reroll one defense die when defending.
Right, and like the second edition Hal Runner, this ability now works on herself, which is great because usually when you took Cirasu before, it just meant, okay, I'll shoot Cirasu first, and it's a little squishy sick, so that's not that big of a deal. Now she has a bit more ability to protect herself, which I think is pretty cool, and it's going to make it a little bit harder for your opponent to deal with this extra damage mitigation.
Well, and it'll really force your opponent to make decisions. If they do want to target Cirasu, Cirasu can pretty straightforward get that defensive reroll and then just take an evade for her action each round. So your opponent has to decide, okay, this ship that's got a pretty reasonable defense, do I really want to focus in on her, or do I want to start targeting the other ships knowing that they're going to get that defensive benefit? Now, Cirasu in first edition wasn't so great because it didn't affect herself, but there's also the other factor here where in second edition, defensive modification is a lot more valuable than it was beforehand. Both defense and offensive modification have really been reeled in, so those abilities are generally not as strong as they were in first edition, and they're far more infrequent. So having a defensive reroll in second edition, especially one that can spread out to multiple ships, is actually really powerful.
Right, and I know my Fang Fighters are really hurting from their lack of defensive modification. They're missing their Auto Thrusters card. So I've been looking at Sirisu as an option to, you know, get Fenrau and Old Tarok to survive, to get into range one where they can start having their defense work for itself. And I think Sirisu's, you know, really your only option here for protecting those squishy scum ships that have really good agility.
Though where Sirisu focuses on trying to avoid damage or really limit it, you have an option over in Prince Xizor in the Star Viper where you're just assuming you're going to take that damage, so you might as well just spread it around on your squad.
Xizor, of course, noteworthy for being the ship that brought the podcast together here, but also having the very cool pilot ability of whenever you defend, after the neutralized result step, another friendly ship at range 0 to 1 and in the attack arc may suffer one hit or crit result. If it does, cancel one matching result.
So the focus of a Xizor list is typically to fly a bunch of ships pretty close together. You have Xizor paired up with ships that have a pretty low cost to a high health ratio. We're talking things like Y-Wings or Quad Jumpers, where they're not that expensive, but they got a lot of hit points. And you're making, again, making your opponent make really tough decisions, kind of like they do with Sirisu, where, well, the biggest gun is probably Xizor, so I probably want to focus and deal damage there first. But if I do target Xizor, then I know he's just going to spread the damage out to his other ships. And what makes an ability like this really interesting is that you're still taking the same amount of damage to your list, but by virtue of controlling where it goes, you actually can impact the flow of the game pretty dramatically. Like a standard core concept in X-Wing is focusing your fire and getting ships off the board. Because typically, no matter how much damage a ship has received, it still attacks with the same attack roll. So your goal is to get those guns off the board rather than spread out the same amount of damage across ships. What you're doing with Xizor is forcing your opponent to spread damage out and hopefully keep as many of your guns on the board for as long as possible.
Right, and usually when your opponent has one good ship and a bunch of cheap generics, I want to focus that good ship, take their key player out of the game, and then whittle down the generics. Well, that strategy very much does not work against the Prince here.
And while the core strategy with Xizor is generally the same, there are a couple different ways you can skew it. You can build your whole list around Xizor, where you pair Xizor up with three Y-Wings or four Quad Jumpers, and then really focus in on spreading that damage out to those ships and flying in a tight formation. Or you could use Xizor in combination with just a couple cheap ships like Z-95s, which will make up about half your list, and then you can use the other half of your list to introduce some other ships or some other builds.
Yeah, maybe throw a Sirisu in there for even more defense.
Right, there are several different ways you could build Xizor. All right, let's close out this conversation by looking at what has become a core archetype of Scum and Villainy. It took the last first edition world championships. We're talking about IG-88s.
Absolutely. I mean, dual aggressors have been good before in first edition, and they're plenty fine in second edition, but I think their list building is a little bit more straightforward. I want to talk about, you know, two IGs, but only one of them is flying an aggressor. I want a ship with that IG-88D crew in there. I think that's the interesting place to think about.
Obviously, IG-88s all have access to their title card so they can share pilot abilities, but you do have that IG-88 crew option where you can give that same pilot ability sharing to a different ship, so long as they have a crew slot.
Right, and you do have to pay 2 points to give your aggressor the IG-2000 title so that you can share that. But it's totally worth it, because in second edition, it seems to be less about, you know, good upgrade cards and more about good pilot abilities. I think the value is shifted more towards pilot abilities than upgrade cards right now. And the IG-88D crew gives you access to some very great pilot abilities to share. So let's start with IG-88A. This is a very powerful action efficiency ability where you get to pass a calculate token at the start of the combat phase to another friendly ship within range 3 that has the calculate action on your action bar.
Now, obviously, the IG-88D crew grants you the calculate action, so you're going to be able to access this as long as you're flying it together. What makes this cool is that we've seen from calculate tokens, obviously one calculate token is not as good as one focus token, but once you start piling up multiple calculate tokens, you really start to see the value there. And in this case, with the inherent ability of all the IGs to, when they take a calculate action, to get an extra calculate token, using IG-88A's ability, you can actually give a third calculate token to a ship, giving it multiple points of defensive modification that it can use for multiple attacks.
you know, getting multiple green tokens on a ship is a very difficult thing to do in second edition. And IG-88A, you know, obviously you're not passing, you know, the strongest of green tokens. Calculate tokens are pretty weak, but, you know, it's one of the best ways to get multiple green tokens on a ship. And what I think is really cool here, obviously passing one calculate token is nice, but when you have a ship with the IG-88D crew, well, now both of your ships can pass a calculate token. So if you have a third ship, you know, both of your ships can give them a calculate token. You know, I, of course, like Guri here is a great ship to protect. Forlom is awesome. Really, this is a very powerful interaction. And the limitation is really how many scum ships have access to that calculate action on their action bar.
So IG-88A looks like a great option. You also have a couple other choices. IG-88B isn't looking so great right now, but I'm thinking maybe down the road, this might be an ability that's a little bit more useful.
Yeah, right now I'm just not too excited about the canon options to really chase that. But, you know, coming from first edition, this was considered the best aggressor pilot ability. Getting that second shot with a cannon is very powerful. That's a very strong reward. Just right now, the cannons aren't quite what I'd want them to be to chase this.
Right, and while it's a bonus attack, technically, IG-88B's ability, after you perform an attack that misses, you may perform a bonus cannon attack. This was great in first edition because, effectively, it didn't mean you were dealing more damage. It meant you were just generally more accurate, so you could miss with the first attack and then use other abilities to get target locks and attack again. Right now, we don't have anything like old-school fire control system granting free target locks, or most of the cannons aren't that great either, or they're kind of hard to pull off. But in the future, I could definitely see this combining well with another ship, having that IG-88D crew and a cannon slot, where you could get some really cool abilities combining this pilot ability. I think the only real competition for IG-88A, though, is IG-88C, where after you perform a boost action, you may perform an evade action.
Right. Evade tokens are very hard to come by, especially in the scum faction. So, you know, getting a free evade action is awesome. And, you know, when you're boosting, repositioning, getting a token is amazing. Yeah, the tricky thing when you have IG-88C and then a ship that you're putting IG-88D crew on is, does that ship have access to boost and still have a crew slot?
Right, and in cases of ships like the Hawk that do have a boost and a crew slot, that boost is red on the Hawk, so unless you're putting an engine upgrade on there, you're not going to be able to take that free evade action since you'll be stressed.
Absolutely. Now, this does look very good on a fire spray, and, you know, ships like Boba Fett would definitely love that evade token when they boost into range one.
Yeah, anytime you can get both a repositioning action and some sort of either offensive or defensive modification like an evade token, that's really good action efficiency built in right there.
Now, the real trick is if you can get IG-88C and IG-88A's action efficiency plus a third ship to put the IG-88D crew card on, that's what remains to be seen. Yeah, you could fit a Hawk in there. They have the boost.
But these ships are pretty expensive on their own, so if you're putting two IGs in a list plus another ship with that crew slot, you're not going to have many points there left for any upgrades on any of them.
This is true. And that's the issue. But I think what I like about the whole IG-88 system plus the IG-88D crew is you just have so many options. You know, yes, A is kind of restricted by which ships have calculate, and C is restricted by who has access to boost, and, you know, B is limited by your cannon choices. But between all of them and how many different scum ships have access to the crew, I think you have quite a bit of options here.
Well, there it is, our look at the scum build-around mechanics that we have so far from just that first wave of conversion kits. Obviously, new cards are going to be coming out in the future, new pilots as these ships get re-released into second edition, but hopefully this gives you a good baseline for at least your extended format game so you can see what are these mechanics that you can actually build scum lists all around.
Absolutely. I mean, if you can find the right list where you incorporate some of these really efficient payoff cards as far as their point costs, and then you fill out the list where, you know, those list building requirements aren't really hindering you, but all working at a very fine efficiency, you know, you end up with a list that has efficiency, you know, greater than 200 points. So they're definitely worth pursuing. And I think the Scum faction has a lot of really fun options to pursue here.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter @RadioTCXPodcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us. And to our current Patreon supporters, please be sure to go onto the page and get your question listed for when we do a mailbag episode. It doesn't have to be an X-Wing related question either. Have fun with them.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.